Let's turn together now in the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or in the last chapter now of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be reading this evening verses 1 through 11. This is the Word of God, so listen carefully to it. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. God's word. Let's pray. Lord God, help us attend faithfully your word tonight. Help us attend diligently and listen. Block all the distractions, Lord, that we might otherwise allow in, and help us to meditate upon your word this evening and take it to heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We may often ask ourselves what it means to live authentically as a Christian, what it means to practice and exercise true Christian faith in this world. We know well that there are so many voices and so many distractions all beckoning us to compartmentalize our faith and turn the eyes of our Christian hope downward, setting them on things here, things which everyone else around us strives after and hopes for. And sometimes we may find ourselves like the rest, living like the rest, just busy with buying and selling and working and producing and shopping and grasping and eating and drinking and entertaining ourselves, or politicking day in, day out, a cycle that we scarcely reflect upon and often simply assume as the norm. We may find ourselves in a mode of being, as one songwriter put it, comfortably numb. Well, it's precisely this mode of being, this way of life, that the Bible considers most foolish, most inauthentic. A way of life that in essence and in practice says there is no God. Even those in our culture or societies who preach about seizing the day or about being true to yourselves, they find themselves in this same cycle of comfortable, disingenuous numbness. The genuine, authentic life is a life lived in constant awareness of the God who created us, created everything. The genuine, authentic life is a life lived in this world in the constant awareness that we will give an account of our lives to God. The genuine, authentic life, then, is a life lived in the constant awareness of the coming of God to judge the world. A coming which, no matter how badly we'd like to ignore it or push it off in our imagination to some distant future, a coming that is completely outside of our control and will refuse to fit into our busy little schedules and will destroy, absolutely destroy that situation of being comfortably numb. Moreover, this coming of God to judge the world is not some hypothetical notion. It's not the invention of end-time theologians or madmen. The concreteness of it, the surety of it, was made known to everyone in the coming into this world of the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. His appearance in this world over 2,000 years ago bore final witness to the end time appearance of God. It bore witness to that event of the coming of God into human history, which people might have otherwise liked to have completely put out of their minds, shut out of their minds. Jesus' first appearance in and of itself, by itself, and in finality, leaves the world completely without excuse, completely without a basis to plead ignorance when the last day does come and when God comes again to judge the world. You could say that when the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came into the world was put on notice for the last time. His coming was the coming of the light. It was the coming of daybreak. In the midst of a night when everyone was sleeping. Sleepers who sleep in this, again, situation of being comfortably numb. See, when he came into this world, for a moment of time, it was as though the light switch was turned on in the dark room of our inauthentic existence, and we beheld him. We beheld the Lord God. But as we know, even then, even when he appeared, people, we were told, Gospels tell us they preferred the darkness. They preferred their darkness to the light. They might say made a practice, even hypothetically, metaphorically, they made a practice of gouging out their eyes so that they cannot see. They made a practice of this by distracting themselves, busying themselves, buying, selling, working, eating, drinking, marrying, entertaining, deliberately forgetting, deceiving themselves, covering their heads, or just adjusting their pillow so that they can go back to sleep. They wanted to not stand in the reality, the dawn, the daybreak of the coming of the Son of God. They preferred their dream world, their inauthentic dream world of existence. The truth is, Christians alone live authentic lives. No, not consistently. And for this, we daily repent and pray for more grace. But the Christian life is, by definition, a life lived in the light of the truth. A life lived in the light of the coming of God. We cannot, as Christians, we cannot and do not even want to forget about the first coming of God into this world. We saw the light.
And by God's grace, we do not want to live again outside of that light. That light was the light that not only exposed the darkness of this world, but in the darkness of our own lives, it was the light that purified our souls, brought us out of darkness into a new world, His world, a kingdom of light, transforming us, as Paul here calls us, transforming us into children of light, born into this new reality, the true reality, living in this new world, the true world. Jesus' coming changed everything forever. And Christians live in the light of that, in the reality of that. We cannot live for a day, an hour, without the thought of Him. He's always on our hearts and minds. Even when we're in sin, we think of Him. Such was the glory of His coming, the sweetness, the salvation of His coming. And what's more, He told us that His coming was but the first installment of that light and salvation. He told us that He would come again to perfect that which He began. The day of the Lord, the day of Jesus Christ, was the down payment and guarantee of the day of the Lord, the day of Jesus Christ coming again. Now, He did not tell us precisely when He would come again. Daybreak has come, however, and you know that the light of the full day is going to follow. That is enough for us, for Christians, to know. The day has dawned. That means the sun will rise. Full day is coming. His coming, His first coming, signaled for us that change in the times and seasons. When we see clouds, we know that a storm is coming. When He was crucified, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, we knew we have entered the last days. We know enough to get ready and to be ready and to live in a state of readiness for when He comes again, when that final day star dawns forever. And that, Christian, is what it means to live in this world authentically, genuinely live. As our passage tells us, those living inauthentic lives will be completely caught off guard. He told us that His coming would be, for many, completely unexpected. They will be caught completely off guard, and His coming will bring again their entire dream world to an end. And how are they in this dream world? What are they telling themselves to live in this state of being comfortably numb, this disingenuous, inauthentic existence in the world? What are they saying? Well, we're told, much like the false prophets who came into Israel prophesying, people today are consoling themselves with platitudes like peace and safety. Peace and safety. Everything is okay. Everything will continue just as it always has. Eat, drink, and be merry, because you only live once. You're a good person. I'm a good person. Don't think about judgment and all that superstitious stuff. There is no God. There is no meta-narrative. there is no meaning to anything. You know, you hear the platitudes, peace and safety. That's all there is. Maybe I'll just go back to sleep. Comfortably numb. But then, suddenly, their world will come to an end. Their little dream world will come to an end, and they with it. Reality will come crashing down upon them. Like a thief in the night, it will come. And no security system of man's devising will warn or save them. They will be caught completely unaware. Their fluffy comforters will be ripped off of them. And there they will be, naked, exposed, terrified, without hope of escape, undone. But it will not be this way for those who live authentic lives. It will not be this way for Christians, for those who are awake, with the lights on, with their eyes open, ready. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. The first coming of Christ again made an indelible impact upon us. Nothing was the same after Jesus came. The gospel set us free from the shackles of sinful darkness, removed the scales from our eyes, awakened us to what was real. A real salvation, a real judgment, a real Savior, the one true living God who will judge the world in righteousness. The good news of his coming that was proclaimed to us and which was received by faith by us was, is, and will be, as long as we are in this world, our wake-up call. We can no longer live as though God didn't exist. We can no longer live as though his word of love and grace and the life of his kingdom and presence were not the most exquisite delight we had ever known. That which opened our eyes to all we had been falling short of because of our foolish rebellion and our fixation on ourselves in this world. When that light, the light of Christ, the gospel of Christ, shone in through the curtains of our darkened rooms of inauthenticity and willful apathy and ignorance, we were compelled by that light to get out of bed and throw back the curtains and stand in the warmth and glow of that light, excited to enjoy all that this new day, this everlasting day, held in store, excited to meet and forever be with the one who loved us so much, the one who took away our nightmares. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Authentic life is a life lived in the light of the day of the Lord. He has come, he is coming. It is time to live. To really live. We have been awakened by his coming. We dare not go back to sleep, knowing that he is coming again. We need to be up, spiritually, awake, sober, getting to work so as to be ready to meet him when we hear his voice, his cry of command, that summons to come and gather. It's a cry that will wake even the dead. This is what Christians are doing. It may not look like it, but that's what we're doing while we live in this world. We're trying to stay ready. We're trying to be ready. We're getting ready like a bride about to meet her betrothed. But we're not putting on, as Paul says here, we're not putting on makeup or doing our hair and nails. We're busy putting on our armor, the garments that he gave us, a breastplate of faith and love. Yes, for faith and love are what he likes. His own faith, his own love reflected in us and returned to him with grateful hearts. and a helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. We don this armor because it is his. It's what he wore when he came into this world. It's his righteousness. It's his love. It's his hope. It's his trust in his Father. That which he wore when he came into this world to do battle for us, to fight the darkness of sin and death and Satan in this world, and to deliver us out of it and transfer us into his kingdom of light. In truth, to don this armor is another way of saying we put on Christ. We are in Christ by faith. We lay hold of Christ by faith and are thus clothed with Christ and his garments of salvation. We wear this armor as well, knowing that it and it alone, faith, love, and hope worked in us by the Holy Spirit. This is what one wears when one is awake. You don't wear armor to bed. Wear armor when you're awake. You're awake and you know that you have to fight a good fight in this dark world until he comes again. The commander calls us home. Christians don't live, I mean, metaphorically again, we don't live in PJs or in the comfortably numb fashions of culture in this present evil age. We don't wear, as it were, what they're wearing. Those who prefer darkness to light. We put on Christ and make no allowance for the flesh, knowing that, as Paul writes, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. That is to repeat what he previously said before, that even if we should die as we're awaiting his coming, even if we should die, even if we should, quote, fall asleep in the sense of go down to the grave, if we fall asleep in Christ, wearing Christ, clothed with Christ, we will live with him. Even death cannot separate us from his love. Even death will not plunge us back into that former darkness. We still live in his light, even if we're dead. So we encourage one another and build up one another by reminding each other what time it is. Who we are in Christ according to the gospel we have heard and received. We lovingly and sometimes firmly nudge one another when we see each other nodding off. That is to say, slipping back into worldly ways, going back into that state of being comfortably numb. When we see each other doing that, we nudge each other. Hey, you're falling back asleep. You're falling back into patterns of living inauthentically. Brothers, sisters, Christ has come. Dawn has broken. It's time to get up. It's time to live. And he's coming soon. Let us sober up after that long, drunken, deluded night of foolishness. And let's get things cleaned up. Let's get to work. Let's open all the shades, open all the windows. Yes, it will throw more light in on our sin, but that's a good thing. We know what needs cleaning now. We know what it means to get ready. Our captain has come into the world and has fought the good fight and overcome the world. The gospel reveille has sounded. It's time to get up, put on Christ, put on his armor, and step into the light and live and fight in the light of his day. It will mean that we're going to be fighting a good fight, a war, not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this world, dark, spiritual forces of wickedness that would enslave us again if they could and snuff out that light of Christ. But they cannot. Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. The armor we wear, remember, is battle tested. It's the armor of the victor. We are not destined to destruction, but to salvation. And he is coming again. His coming again will be for us, for Christians, for those who are awake, for those that are bearing and donning that armor and wearing it, fighting the good fight, those who believe in him, who love him, who place their hope in him, living daily, not perfectly, but living in his light. It will be for us not a sudden, shocking destruction, but a day of salvation. We've been waiting for this. We've been hoping for this. Those who live in the disingenuous and deceptive and comfortable numbness of their slogans, their peace and safety slogans, will not stand on that day. They will be swept away just as they were in the days of Noah. But we will be left. We will stand. We who are waiting, expecting this day, this hour, and have been living in its light already. Brothers and sisters, encourage one another to live authentic lives. That is to say, lives lived in the light of Christ's first coming and his imminent return. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that the light of Christ has broken into this dark world, that he has come into this world, that his coming shook us out of our slumbers, awakened us for the first time to the reality of the destruction that had loomed, that was coming, but even more awakened us to the glory and beauty of our God and of his salvation, of his grace and love for us, which we know we will enter into fully when he comes again, and he will come again soon. All we would say, Lord, is every day when we wake up, help us say, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come, Maranatha. And may we live with that banner over our lives, Maranatha. May we truly live then in light of the reality of the coming of the Son of God. We pray this in his name. Amen.